ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವಾರದ ಹರಿ ಜಯೋ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವಾರದ ಹರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾನ್ ಕೀ ಜಾಯ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಾಯ್ ಗೌಡ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 45, and we will also cover 46. Narada Praha Munaye Sarasvatyastate Nripam ಜಯತೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಪರಮಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಯಾಮಿ ತತೇಜಸೇ ನರದ ಪ್ರಹ ಮುನಯೇ ಸರಸ್ವತ್ಯಸ್ತತೇ ನೃಪಂ ಜಯತೆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಪರಮಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಯಾಮಿ ತತೇಜಸೇ. ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಚಂತ್
Prahulahe.
And we can have now students recite all together. Narada Brahmanaye,
Saraswatyasate
Nirvam, Jayate Brahma Paramam. Thank you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In succession, O King, the great sage Narada instructed Srimad Bhagavatam unto the unlimitedly powerful Vyasadeva, who meditated in devotional service upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, on the bank of the river Saraswati. Purport. In the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada instructed the great sage Vyasadeva as follows. Atto maha bhaga bhavan amogadrik shuchi shrava satya rata dutta rata urukram yasya kila bandha mukta ye samadina mustmara talvice shitam. O greatly fortunate, pious philosopher, your name and fame are universal, and you are fixed in the absolute truth with spotless character and infallible vision. I ask you to meditate upon the activities of the Personality of Godhead, whose activities are unparalleled. So in the disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya, the practice of yoga meditation is not neglected. But because the devotees are bhakti yogis, they do not undertake the trouble to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman, as indicated here. They meditate on Brahma Paramam, or the Supreme Brahman. Brahman realization begins from the impersonal effulgence, but by further progress of such meditation, manifestation of the Supreme Soul, Paramatma realization takes place. And progressing further, realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fixed. Sri Narada Muni, as the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, knew very well the position of Vyasadeva, and thus he certified the qualities of Srila Vyasadeva as fixed in the Absolute Truth with great vow, etc. Narada advised meditation upon the transcendental activities of the Lord. Impersonal Brahman has no activities, but the Personality of Godhead has many activities, and all such activities are transcendental without any tinge of material qualities. In the activities of the Supreme Brahman, if the activities of the Supreme Brahman were material activities, then Narada would not have advised Vyasadeva to meditate upon him. And the Param Brahma is Lord Krishna, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna realized the factual position of Lord Krishna, he addressed Lord Krishna in the following words: Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishaya Sarve Devarshi Naradas Tatha Asito Devala Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishimi. Arjuna summarized the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita by his realization of Lord Shri Krishna and thus said, "My dear Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the original person in the eternal form of bliss and knowledge. And this is confirmed by Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasadeva. And above all, your personal self has also confirmed it." When Vyasadeva fixed his mind in meditation, he did it in bhakti yoga trance and actually saw the Supreme Person with Maya, the illusory energy in contraposition. As we have discussed before, the Lord's Maya or illusion is also a representation because Maya has no existence without the Lord. Darkness is not independent of light. Without light, no one can experience the contraposition of darkness. However, this Maya or illusion cannot overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but stands apart from him, Apshrayam. Therefore, perfection of meditation is realization of the Personality of Godhead. Along with his transcendental activities, meditation on the impersonal Brahman is troublesome business for the meditator, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5. Klesho diktara stesham avyakta sapta chetasam. All right, so if we could recite text 46 all together. Yad uttaham tvaya prishtam vairajat purushad idam yatasita dupakyaste prasnan anyam shakrishna. Translation. O King, your question as to how the universe became manifested from the gigantic form of the Personality of Godhead, as well as other questions, I shall answer in detail by explanation of the four verses already mentioned. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this great transcendental literature is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And therefore, all questions that can be humanly possible regarding the universal affairs, beginning from its creation, are all answered in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The answers depend only on the qualification of the person who explains them. The ten divisions of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained by the great speaker Srila Shukadeva Goswami, are the limitation of all questions, and intelligent persons will derive all intellectual benefits from them by proper utilization. The Sandi Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. Om Agyana Timirandasya Angananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Vancha Kalpa Trubhisha Kripa Sinubha Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm happy to be with all of you this morning, here in the presence of their lordships, Shri Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, and Nitai Gaur. So as you can notice, we are at the end of the second chapter. And second chapter is really, I mean, every chapter, of course, is a nectar in Bhagavatam. But beside the Chatushloki that's nicely hidden in this chapter, there are so many wonderful things, actually, that are really in detail explained. Because of our timing, I will just kind of try to summarize on three points this morning. And basically, in this verse that we are discussing today, one thing that kind of stood out immediately, Prabhupada is talking in his purport about the character, character of devotee. And he starts his purport by quoting the verse from first canto. He's saying, Atto Mahabhaga Brahman Umagadrik Shuchi Shrava Satya Rato Dritta Rata. He's basically quoting Narada Muni, who is saying to Srila Vyasadeva, O greatly fortunate, pious philosopher, your name and fame are universal, and you are fixed in the absolute truth with spotless character. So I thought that's really important point, spotless character. And when we discuss what the character actually is, according to the English dictionary, basically it says, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to one individual. So each of us has a very unique character. But we want to follow in the footsteps of these great devotees and develop the character that's suitable for spiritual perfection, which is, of course, love of Krishna. So, interestingly, so we find in this purport, basically, Narada is describing the character of Vyasadeva. But previously, in the same chapter, we find the character of Lord Brahma also described. And basically, it was said that Lord Vishnu was very pleased by Brahmaji because of his non-deceptive penance in bhakti yoga. Non-deceptive. And as we remember in previous shlokas in this chapter, Lord Vishnu was so pleased with Brahma that actually he shook his hands, you know, like friends would do. Hi. So I thought that it was really amazing, like how Krishna is so wonderful and so personal. So basically, it says, and seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as a worthy to create living beings, to be controlled as he desired. And thus being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma and slightly smiling addressed him further on. So good character is absolutely necessary. And what is the result of good character? Fixed determination on the spiritual path. As Krishna says in the second chapter of Gita, Vayavayasyatga buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. So those who are on the path of, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. So I was kind of trying to go a little bit deeper and try to understand what is the really impetus, what is really help one create good character in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. So a couple of weeks ago, basically, I was on a family trip visiting the mountains of North Carolina. And every morning we would go out, going on a mountain trails and chanting our japa and kind of like a little retreat in a forest. So one morning we went a little bit further than usual in one forest, and there was really nobody around, just a few of us. And as we were going deeper and deeper in the forest, I was kind of a little bit nervous because there was literally nobody around. And so I was a little bit complaining, as usual. I say, yeah, maybe we should go back. Thank you. And all of a sudden, the devotees that were in front of me, they noticed a few little bear cubs, baby bears, black bears. And normally black bears, it's described, they're not really too dangerous. They're not so aggressive. They're not like grizzly bears, to say. However, if you see baby cubs, you know, bear cubs, you can conclude who else is around. That is correct. And mother bear will do anything to protect its own cubs. So you better watch out. Normally, you know, she's going to be peaceful, but if her cubs are by any means endangered, she could be very aggressive. So, again, you know, me being kind of like last in the procession, I noticed the devotees in front of me, they turned around and they're going back to me. And I said, "What's going on?" So they said, "Bears." So immediately, you know, we kind of like were in a moment of panic, and we started walking backwards because we didn't want to really confront the mother bear. And one of us actually had a bear spray. In the cabin we were staying, the owner of the cabin had a kind of like a complimentary for the visitors bear spray. So all of these days we were carrying it in our backpack, but unfortunately we never really read directions. I mean, it's not like it's like rocket science to use it, but unfortunately, because it was brand new, there is a kind of like a plastic strip that seals the trigger. So you really can't use it unless you cut the plastic strip, which is quite thick, and you can't necessarily just break it. You need a knife or good scissor or something to cut it off. So fortunately, by Krishna's mercy, nothing happened. We walked away, you know, the same path we were going, and Mother Bear did not really see us as a threat, and everything was fine. But on the way back, I was wondering, is there a magic seal in Krishna consciousness that actually opens the true knowledge to the conditioned soul? Because we can go really for a long time unless we really open the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. So as I was studying these verses, one thing that kind of stood out to me, and I thought, this must be it. The secret of success in spiritual life, as it says in the famous verse, Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deva tathaguro tasya ite kachaita hiyatam prakashyante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So I thought, that must be it, because we can see the example of Brahmaji. Basically, Lord Vishnu is acting as his spiritual master, and he's so pleased with him that he actually manifests in Brahma's vision the entire Vaikuntha planets, and Lord Brahma can actually perceive what spiritual world looks like. And then later on, same thing happens between Narada and Vyasadeva. Narada is so pleased with the character of Vyasadeva, and therefore the knowledge is being transmitted. So in a similar way, if we want to be qualified recipients of this transcendental knowledge, we definitely have to follow in the footsteps of these great acharyas and develop the character worthy of receiving this transcendental knowledge. So the second point I find in this verse that we are discussing today, it's explained properties mentioning in the purport that in the practice of yoga, bhakti yoga, basically meditation is not neglected. It's not neglected. You know, sometimes devotees think, oh, we are just chanting japa, doing kirtan. But actually, if you look, the morning program that Srila Prabhupada gave us is structured so wonderfully. Because in the morning we chant, that is our meditation, sound, basically we are meditating on transcendental sound. And then we follow by worshipping our spiritual master, our founder Acharya. And then we hear about Krishna's pastimes. So it's perfectly, it's perfect package, basically, to provide all these necessary ingredients. So, and then basically, the last thing mentioned in the purport, actually in the verse 46, it's described that this transcendental literature is ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And then at the end, Prabhupada is saying, the intelligent persons will derive all intellectual benefits from them by proper utilization. For those of you who are leaving, I just wanted to wish you a wonderful summer, because I believe this is the last Wednesday worship, is it? Anyhow, so have a wonderful summer, and we will see you in a few months. So Prabhupada is saying, basically, the intelligent persons will derive all intellectual benefits from the answers provided in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as the following chapter will basically explain, basically, all the answers related to the universal affairs are provided in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I was thinking about this point, and if we think, basically, there is a proper utilization of this transcendental knowledge, then I think the easiest way to understand it is by actually realizing what the improper use of this knowledge is. And one example comes to my mind in particular. After Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyaksha, I'm sure you all know who he is, he's the brother of demon Hiranyakashipu. And he gets killed by which incarnation? Does anybody remember? Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, thank you. So, Lord appears in the form of Varahadev, and he actually kills Hiranyaksha. So, after Hiranyaksha was killed, we find a moment where Hiranyakashipu, he's basically trying to pacify his relatives. And essentially, he's, you know, you wouldn't expect to hear those kind of words from him, because he's really preaching, like, you know, Vedic philosophy about the soul, about the temporary nature of the temporal existence in this material world, and soul passing from one body to another. And at one point, basically, he's saying to his mother, "Oh, my dear mother, just like a travelers, who by, you know, circumstance they meet together in some restaurant or some place where the cool water is being provided. And for a short time they are together, but then again they continue traveling their own paths." So Hiranyakashipu was telling his relatives, in the same way, basically, the living entities gather together and then by the force of time they separate. And then Hiranyakashipu was saying, like, you know, you should not lament, you know, this is the normal change of the body. Just like we find in the Gita itself, dehino smin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara. So basically very, very much in line with the Vedic understanding. And you would think, how is it possible that a demon like this is preaching Krishna consciousness? Because just shortly before that, he was telling his demoniac associates, basically, he was saying, go down to the planet Earth and destroy all the Vedic sacrifices. These humans, they are performing yagyas. And he was saying, basically, destroy the Vedic culture, you know, destroy the Brahmanas, because if Brahmanas are not present, then there's nobody to advise the Kshatriyas. And if Kshatriyas are not doing their duties, then there's no sacrifices, and the demigods will starve, and all my enemies will be defeated. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking like that. So therefore we can conclude basically that proper utilization knowledge must culminate actually in understanding that Krishna is our eternal supreme master and we are his eternal servitors. And that service is done in love and devotion. So, at the end, I would like to tell you also a nice story that I heard recently. One time, basically, one great scholar came to the kingdom of King Akbar. And this particular scholar, he was so learned. He spoke so many different languages. He was an expert. And he proclaimed the challenge. If anyone in this kingdom would figure out what my mother tongue is, then I'll admit to be defeated. Otherwise, I'm the greatest scholar in this whole country. And mother tongue, I hope you all understand what it is. It's basically your native language that you learn from your parents. So all the great scholars in the kingdom, they came in, they debated with this visiting scholar, and none of them could figure it out. Even the greatest of the Brahmins in the kingdom, Birumbir, he came and he couldn't figure it out. So basically this scholar, he was so learned, and any language he would speak, it was perfect. Perfect grammar, perfect pronunciation, no, you know, accent. So nobody could figure out what was his mother tongue actually is. So finally, Birbal, he said, "My dear king, give me another day and I'll let you know the answer tomorrow." So this Birbal, he was very, very intelligent. That evening, he went to the palace where the visiting scholar was staying, and he called his servant and he said, "Tomorrow morning, before he wakes up, take the bucket of ice-cold water and threw it in his face." Mangalarti, wake up. So the servant actually did that, you know, next morning. And this visiting scholar, he jumped like, you know, all angry. And he started shouting like on his servant. And Birbal, he was hiding behind, you know, nearby. And he heard him speak in Gujarati. So that morning he went to the king and he said, "My dear king, his native language, his mother language is Gujarati." And this scholar, he admitted, yeah, he's correct. So then king, he started thinking, amazing, how did you find out? I mean, it's like impossible. Like, he's so good. He speaks all the languages perfectly. How did you find out? And Birbal said, "When the person is in shock, when the person is in distress, when the person is about to fall, trip and fall, he will always default to the native mother language." So you may wonder, like, why is he telling this story? Like, what does this have to do with anything? But actually, it does. And the explanation is that chanting of Krishna's holy name is actually our mother's language. It's the mother's language of the soul. So if we chant neglectfully, or if we actually don't chant at all, we are neglecting and forgetting our own mother tongue, our own native language, which is so close to the heart, is so close to the soul. Therefore, chanting of Krishna's name is so much stressed in our scriptures. Prabhupada, in his translation to the Maha Mantra, Prabhupada is saying, these three words, namely Hare, Krishna and Rama, are transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. The chanting is spiritual call of for the Lord and his eternal energy, Haram, to give protection to the conditioned souls. The chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Mother Hara helps the devotees achieve the grace of the Supreme Father Hari or Krishna. And the Lord reveals himself to the devotees who chant this Maha Mantra sincerely. So, I'm not going to ask you how you would respond if somebody would throw a bucket of cold water in your face. or even just a few drops. But each of us can ask ourselves and, you know, can keep it, you know, between you and yourself. How would you respond if something like that would happen? Would you immediately scream, Krishna! Or would you say something else? So that would be a really good test. And you know, you can think it and decide for yourself. So I will stop here. I'll keep it short and sweet. Thank you so much. And again, for our students, I wish you a wonderful summer, blissful, and you know, may you have a wonderful time with your families. And if anybody would like to make any comment or any question, please do so. Yes. Yes, Prabhuji.
A couple of days ago, my leg got tangled on a rope and I fell. And as soon as I fell, I shouted, Krishna, you know, all I know about it. And then I reflected later and I said, that's some improvement there, really, you know, because... You know, at that moment, really, you might be saying so many things.
Exactly.
But exactly. Within the purport, it stated that we meditate, we do meditation, which is important. But really, at this time, it's we. Meditate on the holy name, you know, but not on the other process. But if that that was essential, the other form of meditation, then why we don't implement it, or why it's not been implemented? You know, it was speaking about
Good question. Thank you, Trivikram Prabhu. Well, essentially, every age has its own particular recommendation for spiritual perfection. And knowing the state of humans in the age of Kali, basically, for us, chanting a holy name is the best process. And it's not like we necessarily... I find it sometimes a little bit disconnect, like when devotees say, I'm chanting and maybe that's not meditation. We shouldn't necessarily perceive it that way. Our japa shouldn't be necessarily, oh, 16 rounds, Prabhu, you know, 2 hours and 5 minutes. Like, it's not like, you know, we shouldn't get into the mood of, like speeding, like, you know, on a racing truck in Daytona Beach, just to finish our japa. No, it should be done in a meditative mood. And at the same time, we find the example of Arjuna. He is basically on the battlefield. So he has no time to sit down, and actually Krishna discouraged him when he wanted to go in a forest and sit and meditate. Krishna said, no, you better perform your duties as a kshatriya, and at the same time you remember me. So I find that for us very much instructive, for us people of the age of Kali, because we really can't even afford to go somewhere on the bank of Yamuna and sit and meditate like Srila Vyasadeva did. We have to adjust according to the time and place and make the best of the situation. And therefore, if we chant in the morning, that is our meditation, but even throughout the day, you know, when we are doing our occupational duties, we can always be chanting in our mind or remembering Krishna, or having maybe like a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the background to kind of keep our atmosphere pure. I don't know if that answers your question, Prabhuji, but maybe somebody else would like to add to that.
I think that's fair there, really, because, I mean, what we're doing is meditation in a little different way, too, especially because in this age, the mind is so restless, you know, it's so restless, so much distraction, really. So our form of meditation is, you know, is also essential, really, but the Lord gave us the holy name, which makes it easier for us.
And like you mentioned in your example, you fell and your leg got stuck. I think it's actually even better to be remembering Krishna at any point throughout the day, during all of our duties, because we don't know when the danger will come. We really don't. You know, it's not necessarily we'll be sitting somewhere under the tree and meditating. The danger can strike at any point. And if we practice to remember Krishna in all circumstances, that is way more beneficial for us. I have one more story, but I don't know if I have time to tell it.
There's some time, yeah.
What did you say, Rishabha?
I said there's time.
They have to go. Okay. Okay, I'll keep it for the next time I see students. So, does anybody else have any comment or question? If not, we will stop here. Again, thank you all so much. Garantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam.